Everyone, today is the 1st of November, and so we're getting the remnants of autumn, fall. The leaves are doing their final descent to the ground, and so anyway, we are enjoying the fall. Autumn, I think, is about my favorite time of the year. I like spring, but fall is so pretty. And anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But this morning, I'm going to be reading from passage in Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse. And there's been a lot said about the church, about the bride of Christ, about who they are, where they are, when they are, how they are, what they are. But I think that some people have a much too, here goes my coffee pot. Some people have much too narrow of a definition of the church. We're living in a society where Zionism has taken over. Zionism is not Christian. It's the furthest thing from Christian. Zionism is to deny Jesus Christ as the Messiah for the Jews. Zionism is to affirm that there are multiple paths to God, which is a denial of Scripture. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Evangelical Zionism is a fraud perpetrated by the likes of Schofield and Darby and it's as much a fraud as the Roman Catholic Church, you know. And so I don't spend all my time, I think there's a danger if a person gets into spending all their time pointing out false doctrine. I know a couple people that the lion's share of everything they do is to point out everybody else. I used to be that way more. My earlier life and earlier times on sermon audio, if you go back to my first messages on sermon audio, I spent a lot of time because I had come out of, God had brought me like a brand plucked from the fire out of a lot of these things. And so I understand how when some people come out of a situation, there's sometimes we're overzealous, you know. And I was as guilty, and I'm still guilty of it today at some point. But what I'm talking about this morning is that Christ is the central theme of truth. You know, there's truth and then there's the antithesis of truth, which is the free will of man. Pelagius, Jacob Arminius, state churches, sacramentalism, Charles Finney, you know, James Dobson, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, you know, that's the antithesis of truth. But about the church, the church is the bride of Christ. And a lot of people don't like it when I refer to the fact that in the Old Testament, there was a church in the wilderness. Abraham was a member of the church of God, along with all the other patriarchs who were God's elect. Jacob have I loved. He was a member of the church. Isaac and Jacob and Samuel and Jonah and Job. And I think Nebuchadnezzar was even a member of the church. I think God brought him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I worship the Most High. You don't worship the Most High if you're not a member of his church. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Malachi, they were all members of the church of God. And if you say that they're not members, then you're denying what Christ said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, that includes the Old Testament saints. No man comes to the Father but by me. David, we look in the second chapter of Acts, David saw Christ according to the scriptures there in the second chapter of Acts. If you don't believe it, I'll read it to you. It's about 6:16 here in Pineville, Missouri. It's cold today. It's 28 degrees. Let's just look at that passage in Acts 2. One of my favorite passages in the Bible because it gives credence to what I'm saying. You can't have all these different entities, the kingdom of God, the church, the bride, the this, the that. No. Second chapter of Acts. Beginning with the 23rd verse. Let's just start with the 22nd verse. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, speaking of Jesus, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now's where it gets really interesting. For David speaketh concerning him. David speaketh concerning him. Who's him? Jesus. David speaketh concerning Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. David speaking of Christ. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One, speaking of Jesus, to see corruption. He knew that Jesus would not see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Came on kind of sudden there. That he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins, excuse me again, to the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David knew that God was going to raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? He's seeing this before he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption, that Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Wow. Well, that's quite a revelation, that David knew Christ. And he was always before his face. God has a way of revealing himself to his elect, to those for whom he's died, his blood bought, his bride. Now we see here in the 18th chapter of Matthew. We'll look at that real quickly. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 20. He says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, if that is not Christ's church, I don't know what else would be. If Jesus is in the midst of them, and if they're gathered in his name, they are part of his church. I've had people say, you know, or infer that, oh, you know, you meet in a house, that's not a church. Well, there's three of us gathered in his name every Sunday. And I had someone recently send me an email admonishing me to go to someone's church and sit under them. No, I don't proclaim any titles. And this person says, don't you go in there either as a co-pastor. You just go in there and sit under this person and so on. Well, what's the inference? That we're not a church. In other words, or that we're a false church, one of the two. But you know what? That's a denial of Scripture. It's a denial of Scripture. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, he said he would be in the midst of us. And our little house church, we have been blessed. Over 20 years we've gathered in his name. And it's been I've had more spiritual blessings where two or three are gathered in his name. Much more spiritual blessing than when I've been in church for 50 or 150 or 300 or 500 or 1200. We're gathered in his name. I'm going to read another scripture here. John 4, 23 and 24, Ephesians 6, 18, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, pray without ceasing. So the next time that you start buying into all of this theological garbage about separating out the church of Christ from the bride of Christ, from the kingdom, age, and from the church in the wilderness, I've never denied that we're under a better, new and better covenant. We are under a new and better covenant. Jesus Christ was manifested in time. And he died according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. He's seated at the right hand according to the scriptures. He's coming again according to the scriptures. But he's always had his people. He's always had his elect. From Adam and Eve down to the last elect person that's been born on the face of the earth. He's always had his Jacobs whom he has loved and his Esau's whom he has hated. And so it's not the number of people that meet. It's whether they're gathered in his name or not, whether they're true worshipers of Christ, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Those who are blood-bought. God does not love everyone, but he does love his elect from everlasting to everlasting. And that includes the patriarchs. That includes David and Jacob and Samuel and Isaiah, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Zephaniah, Malachi. God loves all of his elect equally because he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He doesn't love Larry, Rosette, and Mark less than he loves people that are worshiping a church with 1,200 people. He doesn't count us less worthy because he's the one who made us worthy by shedding his blood on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. By his Father giving us to him. All that the Father has given him will come to him, and all that come to him I will nowise cast out. And so if you're making inferences of little house churches meeting that they're not true churches, you need to reexamine it. You need to reexamine your whole thought about the church. New Testament church was full of house churches. They didn't have big edifices and big buildings with phallic symbols on them. And restaurants in them and gaming, video games for the kids and pastors' parking places where you have to have two or three doctor's degrees to be the senior pastor. No. The New Testament church, it said they went from house to house. And the time is coming when there's going to be more house churches springing up because people are getting sick and tired of this corporate mentality with these mega churches and with these other churches that are trying to act like CEOs. Somebody put it, I thought it was hilarious, actually. I cracked up when I saw it. There's a couple people that have an unbelievable amount of hatred for me because I told them the truth and they didn't want to hear the truth, especially as it regards to evil government and how we're to take a stand against it. And so they have me with a big old Pope hat on, like I think I'm the Pope. No, I don't think I'm the Pope. But I am the head of my household. You know, I don't believe in feminism. Rosette doesn't get up and start spewing off at the mouth all this feminazi garbage. Women are to be silent in the churches. And you can call me anything you want. You can call me the Pope. You can put me with the Pope hat on. I thought it was hilarious. You know? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. You know, the body of Christ, they're going to have their disagreements. You know, there's a lot of name calling going on right now. Scripture says that in the 24th chapter of Matthew, many will be offended and betray one another. You know, Rosette and I have been together for 45 years in this little house church. We haven't always been a little house church. You know, we both came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ later on in life. We were trained in false doctrine. So this morning, let us think on these things and let us realize that God has his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that includes little house churches. May the good Lord be with you today in a special way is my prayer. God bless. Thank you.